review a little bit from this morning, just to make sure. Baptism, we looked at Acts chapter number 8. We talked about the Ethiopian eunuch was our springboard. It is one of the most important verses, but it's not the only verse. It's just because of the things that he does say there in Acts chapter 8, especially verse number 37. And he says, verse 35, here's water what doth hinder me to be baptized. And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And so that's very important for baptism. And so we looked at what is baptism, and it is a picture of the gospel. It pictures it's a physical picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's an outward expression that you've identifying yourself with Christ. And it is one of the two church ordinances that are given to the church to be carried out. And baptos means to dip. That's where we get our English word baptize. And number two, when should someone be baptized? We talked about this. It's after and only after salvation, true salvation, should somebody be baptized. If it was done incorrectly, if they were not baptized to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, if they were not submerged, then they should be baptized again. Baptists got the name of rebaptizers because of this, because so many people started the sprinkling thing, and Baptists would not do that. And so there was a long time in the 14s, 13s, 1200s, 1000, there in those times that Baptists were called rebaptizers. There was a certain word and it meant rebaptizers because they would not take that sprinkling as a baby. The sprinkling as a baby. A baby is what we consider safe because they have not come to the knowledge of sin. Somebody that has not come to that knowledge, the Bible talks about in the book of Romans, when they do by nature the things that are contained in the law, they're a law to themselves. But until somebody can come to that realization, to where they know right from wrong, it's not the same as somebody that has come to that point in time where they know right from wrong. And being baptized does not keep somebody safe in the Lord. You'll not find infant baptism anywhere in there. If somebody was not baptized to the right doctrine, if somebody was not authorized to baptize you, then you should be baptized again to be done right. It is just an outward expression, but it does also say that I'm identifying with Christ, I'm identifying with this local body of believers, and the doctrine of this church. If you were baptized believing it's part of salvation, then you should be baptized again because of the fact that that is false doctrine. And we've showed that. One of the things I didn't get into about that false doctrine, this belief that that you must be baptized to be saved, goes against, and I got this here, you can write this down if you want to go home and look it up. Luke 23:39-43 is the thief on the cross. He looks at the Lord after he at one point, if you read the other Gospels, it sounds to me like in some of the other Gospels, he at one point was mocking the Lord. But something about the way that Jesus was there on the cross, conducted himself, one of them thieves realizes there's something different about this man. And he turns to maybe it was his accomplice, and he says, look, we justly received our deeds, we justly received the reward, but this man's done nothing. And he looks at the Lord and says, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus told him, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. They didn't come down off that cross to get and baptize him. He stayed right there on that cross. And so he believed by faith. He could not been, people could say, well, he was under the law. How's he under the law? He still didn't have a sacrifice. Other than Jesus right beside of him. So it's always by faith in Jesus Christ. We believe that through Old and New Testament, it's always by faith It's in faith in the Old Testament in whatever was revealed to them, as in Rahab the harlot, God revealed to her the judgment coming. Same thing with Noah, and God saved them through faith and belief that whatever it was that God was going to do, they believed that God was going to do it. And so that's why we do not add anything to salvation, because the New Testament says if we earned our salvation, we have something to be boastful of. But we don't. There's nothing we did other than receiving His free gift. Finally, number three, we looked at where should someone be baptized? And we talked about it in water. You should be dipped. You should be in water that's able to cover you up. It's a picture of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. John baptized in John 3:23, where there was much water. The Ethiopian eunuch looked at Philip and said, "Here is water, what doth hinder me?" They both went down into the water and were baptized. You should be baptized at church or through the church. I say that because if you, listen, I want to say this, just in case some people, I've known some people, or I've heard stories of some people, I'm not this way, that they just, because they, God had done something so much in their heart, they wanted to be baptized in the similar way that Jesus did. They didn't want to be baptized in a pool at church. They wanted to go to the river and be baptized. So if there's anybody in here that wants to be baptized and you want to go down to the river, I say at the church or through the church, because if that's what you want, I'll take you down there. I know churches that are out on the coast that'll use the ocean. I mean, that's what they, you know, you use. And so if you want to go to the down here to the river, if you want to go down to a pond, we'll be glad to do it out there if that's what you want. Have a church service out there by the pond if that's what you want to do. But it should be at the church or through the church. And so I was thinking about that today. I knew there was something else I wanted to say a part of that. If you want something more than just being here, like I said, we'll take you out to the to a pond somewhere. Let the cows and everything else watch us baptize you. So, and it should be in front of others. It should be you testifying to the church, those that have already been saved. You're testifying to the rest of them. I'm part of you. I'm one of you. I'm part of the church. I'm part of the family of God. But you're testifying to your lost family. This is your chance to invite people that are lost. You're testifying to them that you are being, you're identifying with Christ. And so here we're looking at number four now. Who should be baptized? And we kind of went over this a little bit, but we're going to make sure. Who should be baptized? It's only for those that have received Jesus Christ for salvation. Again, let's go back to, we'll start in the Ethiopian eunuch there with Acts chapter number 8. And we'll look at these different ones. Who should be baptized? The Ethiopian eunuch asked here in Acts chapter number 8. Verse 36, "And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water, and the eunuch said, 'See, here's water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized?'" So something was on him to want to be baptized. He said, what do I need to do to be baptized? Maybe he'd heard about the baptism of John, and he thought, well, maybe I need to be baptized. But Philip said, look, he said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And I told you this morning that all these modern versions attack this verse, this particular verse, because Philip plainly, cleanly lays this out here, that you are only to be baptized if you believe with all your heart. You're going over to Acts chapter number 16. The Philippian jailer in Acts chapter number 16, he says, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" So he asked a little bit different question. The eunuch said, "Well, what do I need to do to be baptized?" But this jailer says in Acts 16, "What do I need to do to be saved? What must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." And so that's what Paul and Silas was telling him here. And so they said, "You must believe." And then he says later on in verse 33, he took them to his house the same night, washed their stripes, and was baptized. Does it say that it added to his salvation? No. Does it say that he was then fully saved? No, that would contradict what Paul and Silas had told him. So salvation is only for true those that have truly been saved. If you've truly been saved, maybe you haven't made it public, you should not be ashamed of him. You should let it be known. And listen, it will give you that boldness. When you make that public profession like that, it helps make put something inside of you to make you want to tell others. Okay? Who should be baptized? Those that have received Jesus for salvation. Who else? Those, we talked about this, those who were baptized as a child, but now know the truth. If you were baptized as a child, then you now know the truth. You should be baptized after you've been saved. One of the things, before I ever got saved, I can remember I was raised Methodist, and my mom and dad, though they go to Methodist church, they are a little different than some Methodists. A lot of the Methodists where we're from, they do sprinkle their children. They do sprinkle. I don't know if it's confirmation or something else. There's another thing, a christening. That's the term, and they'll do the sprinkling during that time. And it's like when I got older, and I began to notice some of these things. I wasn't yet saved. And I asked my mom and dad. I said, "Were we baptized as children?" My mom and dad said, "No, we believed that it should be your choice when you are baptized." My mom and dad even then did not believe that a child should be baptized. And so they just chose not to do that, follow that tradition of men that Methodists, a lot of them do. Now I've seen, that's one thing I've seen even in Methodist churches that varies even from church to church or region to region. I don't know why. But, you'll get into some Baptist churches, it may be the same way. But anyway, I just asked them, and they said, "We just felt like you, when you're at the age, you should make that choice to make it public." My mom and dad didn't fully understand what all entailed, but they knew enough of the Bible that they should not be made by the parents. There's nowhere in there, again, that you will find that any parents had their children baptized. And so, if somebody was baptized as a child, if they were baptized to a Catholic church, a Methodist church, Baptist church, I don't know anything to do it, but if there are, you should not be, it does not count. That was what I was thinking about today. If you were baptized even as a child into a pool, you know what, and you weren't saved, if you were an adult and you were baptized and you weren't saved, you know what you got? You got a bath in front of people. That's all you got. It's nothing. I've known people that have been baptized 2 or 3 times. We've talked about it. Kids especially, it's hard. It's hard. I know I look at my children as being brought up in a pastor's home. They're not given a choice to do right or wrong. And, as one of mine that wants to be baptized this time, we expect and we tell them, we want to see that there's been a difference in your life. And now I feel like me and my wife both feel like there has been a difference in her life. Has it been a significant difference? No. Why is that? Because she's not given a choice to do right or wrong. She knows that she has to do right. And so her attitude has been better. It's not been perfect. But just as a lot of people that I've talked and read books about, there's something about it. I know it's just water. I know it's just it's just an outward expression, but it's that first step. When I get into the next ones, why should you be baptized? It's an obedience to God. And there's something about taking that first step. If you'll be obedient to God in this and being baptized, then you'll be obedient to other things. When God wants you to do something in church, you'll want to serve. When God tells you to tithe and give to offerings, to missions and different things, you'll be obedient to do that. If you can't take this first step of obedience, see, it says, "He that is saved, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." It doesn't say, "He that believeth and tithes shall be saved. He that believeth and preaches shall be saved. He that believeth and is baptized." Does that mean baptism is part of salvation? No. He's saying this, though, is the first step. step in obedience to God. And if you can't take this first step, you won't take others. You'll stand, you'll be idle, you'll be just a little babe that never grows up. I don't know what the condition's called, but I know there's a condition of that. That's what you are. You'll just be a babe that never grows and never does it because it's an obedience thing. So who should be baptized? If you weren't baptized correctly, those that were not baptized as a child now know the truth, should be. If you were sprinkled, you should, and now know the truth, you should be baptized again. But because you're not really being baptized again, you're being baptized properly the first time. That's what it's doing. If you were false to false doctrine, if you were sprinkled, if you were baptized as a child, now you've been saved, you should want to do this. You may, God may be working in your heart, and you say, well, I'm just not ready to. Listen, you pray about it. You pray about it. I'm not forcing anybody to do it. But like I said, after talking with Brother Shepherd and seeing other men that have gone through this, I realize that it is a lot more to it as far as, yes, it is just outward expression, but you're identifying with Christ, you're identifying with this church, you're identifying with the doctrine of this man of God, you're identifying with what we believe as a church, and all that goes along with that. So if you were baptized by somebody, a man or woman that was not ordained to be a pastor, it should be a man. But if you were baptized by somebody that shouldn't have been, then you should really pray about it. I'm not going to force you to. I'm not going to get mad, upset about you. I want you to pray about it. My brother-in-law, my wife was raised Catholic. Some of you know that, maybe all of you know that. My wife was raised Catholic. She went through every bit of those things. She got baptized after she got saved. We went through some things, but as soon as the opportunity came up, she got baptized. My brother-in-law, after he got saved, our pastor preached on a little bit, but we began to talk to him. And we said, John Boy, we called him John Boy. We're trying to call him John. He wants to be called John. He won't be called John Boy anymore. You know, something about being an adult. You don't want to be a John Boy anymore. But we told him one day, I said, John Boy, you really ought to get baptized. Well, I was baptized as a child. I don't need to be baptized again. And, we talked for just another minute, and I felt like the Lord said, okay, that's enough. And one of the things I said was, this, John Boy, baptism is after you're saved. The Bible makes that clear. I said, baptism is supposed to be after you're saved. I said, now I think me and Christopher said, we think you really need to pray about this. And we left him alone. We never said nothing else to him about it. And I don't know, it may have been a month later at the most. And he came up and said, I talked to the pastor and I'm going to get baptized. Because God worked his heart. He realized it is supposed to be something that's after salvation. And so I'm not going to push you if you've not been. I'm not going to beat you. I'm giving you what the Bible says. But I do want you to pray about it if you've fall under one of these things. Because I believe if you'll pray about it, you'll understand how important it is. Here's how important it is. Let me tell you the right one. Hudson Taylor went to China. Ananias Judson was a missionary that went from America. I got the book in there about his life. He's the one that went to Burma. I'm pretty sure, I'm telling you the right one. It may be Hudson Taylor, but I'm pretty sure it's Ananias Judson. But he went to Burma. When he went there, on the ship, they didn't have boats back then. They didn't have planes and jets back then. He rode a, this is how long ago this missionary was, it was in the 1800s. He rode a ship all the way to India to go into Burma to be a missionary there. And I think, if I remember correctly, don't quote me on this, but I think he was what was known as a Congregationalist. George Washington, I think, was a Congregationalist. And whatever it was, like I said, don't quote, whatever denomination he was, they sprinkled. And he said in this book about his life, this autobiography, he said, I'm spending the whole ship, the whole trip on this ship before we get to India, studying it up, because he knew there was going to be Baptists there in India that believed in baptism like we believe by submersion. And he wanted to be able to defend his position biblically when he got there. And that book said when he, by the time he got there, before he even discussed it with them, just by studying the Word of God, he came to the realization that they were right and he was wrong. That submersion is the proper mode for baptism. And so if you'll study that out, if you didn't hear nothing I said tonight or this morning, you go in and you find every bit of scripture that talks about baptism and talks about the picture and talks about the mode and all those things, and you look at it, and I believe you'd come to the same realization that that's the way it's supposed to be. And I believe if you'll pray about that, you'll know. And I don't know, there may not be anybody in here like that. I'm just letting you know just in case. But and as the church grows, just so y'all know, the church grows, we get a group of other people that want to be baptized. I'll probably preach pretty close to the same message again when that time comes. All y'all will be able to sit back in the pews and go, yep, we got this. But, you know, I just want you to know that. I'm going to put it on the internet, on the website, and everything to be out there. Number five, now why should someone be baptized? I just talked about this. Number one, it is obedience to God. God himself did this. I talked about this morning. The four Gospels, all of them, Matthew 3, Mark 1, Luke 3, and man, ain't that, I never noticed that, John 1. It's either in chapter 1 or chapter 3 in all four of the Gospels. In John and Mark, it's in chapter 1. Matthew and Luke, it's in chapter 3. All four Gospels, Jesus was obedient to God in going to be baptized. Did that make him God? Absolutely not. He was already God, but God put his stamp of approval on it. And when Jesus was baptized, he came up out of the water, and the voice from heaven, the Father, spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." All because Jesus, all Jesus did was go and get baptized at that point, and he's already pleased. So that's obedience. If Jesus, God the Son, God in the flesh, was willing to submit to the Father and be baptized, then you and I should too. It's an act of obedience. It's the first step. I just went through it. He says there in those in the Gospels, in what we know is the Great Commission, there at the end of Matthew especially, he said, "He that believeth and is baptized," and a couple of the other ones, it does talks about being baptized. So baptism is a first step of obedience to God. Number two, it is a testimony to man. Turn with me to Romans chapter number 33. Ooh, Romans, what is it? 9:33. Did I say 33? Romans 9:33. It's a testimony to man. Romans 9:23, he said, as it is written, "Behold, I lay in Sion a stumbling block and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him should not be ashamed." It's a testimony to men telling them, "I'm not ashamed." In Romans 9:33, there's also one, I think, in chapter 10. Let me see. Yes. Chapter 10, verse 11 says, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." It's a testimony to man. I was not ashamed. Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." It's about being obedient to him. It's about being a testimony to man. Why? Listen, I hope and pray that you got the same thing when I got saved. I hope you got the same thing I got, because if you didn't, you didn't get saved to begin with. But if you got the same thing I got when I got saved, God lives, the Holy Spirit of God lives on the inside anyway, and he's going to direct you to do right. But I know, just like some of y'all know, or all of y'all know, you've been saved for a little bit longer, maybe some of you more than I, and you know just as I would. You get out in the world, and it's really easy, if nobody knows you're a Christian, to just kind of fly under the radar. So when you're making that public testimony to man, it's telling others, "I want you to hold me accountable, I identify with Christ, and I want you to know that I identify with what Christ stood against." That's against sin. That's against immorality. Listen, that's against iniquity. That's what you're saying. I want people to know it's my testimony to man. And you should not be ashamed of him. Somebody that's been saved but They haven't been baptized. Nobody else may know it but them and God. And they can kind of fly under the radar. Well, nobody knows. If, you know, and but the Holy Spirit of God knows, and He'll convict you. You know, you'll tell, they'll tell some dirty joke, or they'll tell something they shouldn't have, and the Holy Spirit of God will convict them. But when you're telling people that you're saved and you've made it known through public testimony and you let people know you, they'll hold you accountable. They'll say, don't you go to church? Weren't you baptized? Don't you believe that you're supposed to not live that way? I told you, I worked on a job one time with a young man. I'm pretty sure I was in my late 20s then. I may have been in my early 30s. Was at a building there in Greensboro. A young man, 20, I think he was 21 years old. I'm pretty sure around 21. And he came in. He didn't work for our company, the company I worked for. He worked for the pipe fitting company, the plumbers. That's a fancy way of saying plumber now, pipe fitting company. They found a new fancy way, you know, kind of like, you know, all the sanitation worker. You know, they get these new fancy words. Electricians, that's all we got. It's just electrician. Electrical engineer, I don't know. Anyway. The guy came in and he had a foul mouth just like I used to before I was saved as a lost man. And he cussed, man, he cussed. And I don't know, about a week on the job, I just looked at him one day and I said, hey, I said, do you go to church anywhere? Because I'd like to invite you to church. He says, yeah, I go to church. I said, oh, you do? I said, well, what kind of church you go to? Oh, I go to an independent, fundamental, King James Bible Preaching Baptist Church. I was this close to saying, can I get your pastor's information? Because I'd like to call and have talk with him about you and your mouth. But I think it shook him enough to realize, boy, wasn't saved, obviously. I don't see how he could be with the way that, because he wasn't just saying regular cuss words. He was saying those ones that I don't even like thinking to come across my mind. And but I'm telling you, what a testimony. See, you're either a testimony to the bad or the good. We're all a testimony to something. You're a testimony to your parents. Your four kids right now are out wherever they may be. One here in Kansas. Does the other one live in Missouri or still in Kansas? Missouri. So one in Missouri, one in Texas, and one, I don't know where is he living. Is he still up there? Is he okay? I thought he was traveling around, so it's in Nebraska. So, but everywhere they go, though those two girls may have changed their last names, they still, people will know when they get to know them, they're a testimony to the way that this couple right here raised them. Just as the way that your kids are testimony to your kids will be a testimony to you when you raise them. And so that's why, listen, so you're the same way. When you're as a child of God or a child of Satan, the way that you act, the way that you behave, the things that you will do are a testimony either for God or for the devil. Same thing. You are as a kid, as a child, as a Hoffman, you are a testimony to the way that your parents raised you. Your kids will be a testimony to the way that you raised them. And so that I've always, my dad raised, I told my mom and dad was strict. My mom and dad would be in jail with today's standards, okay? And I'm only 38. My mom and dad just didn't care. They loved us too much to let us buy some of this mess. But my dad raised us to the thing to realize that it's not just Daniel Lineberry that you're representing. You're representing the name Lineberry. And because they raised me with that mentality, it transferred over into my ministry. I'm not just representing Daniel Lineberry here in La Crosse, Kansas. I represent the Fundamental Baptist Tabernacle in Lexington, North Carolina, and Pastor Andy Boyer, because they're the ones that ordained me and sent me out. I also represent Lauderdale Independent Baptist Church, Brother Plato Shepherd, because he was on my ordination. But I also, Island Ford Baptist Church in Madisonville, Kentucky, because Brother Farrell Shepherd put his name on me. And the other man, Brother Steve Doolin, there at Beulahland Baptist Church, and Brother Terry Deeds and Brother Tim McCatton all put their hands on me, and they identified and they said, we believe this man's testimony. We're backing him up. But on top of them, also the 71 churches that support us to be here, I believe I represent them too. And above and on top of all that, is my God that I represent on a daily basis. I don't want to be known as a lazy missionary. I want God to know that He can count on me, that I'll do whatever it takes. Now, listen, there's not a thing in here that I won't do if I know how to do it. There's some things that I may withhold from doing, but if nobody else is going to clean the toilets in this church, I'll do it. If nobody else wants to, I'll do it. If nobody else wants to do the electrical work, I'll do it. I don't know much about heating and air, but I looked at the heating and air, looked and see what I could do before I had to call somebody else and say, come fix this heating and air. I'll do, because I represent God. I don't want to be known as a bad testimony. So why should we be baptized? Because it's obedience to God. It's a testimony to men. And number three, it shows your love to Christ. You're saying, I'm not ashamed of you. I love you, Jesus. You died for my sins, and I want the world to know it. If anybody has a problem with it, then we'll not leave them out. But by the help and grace of God, I'm going to record the baptismal service. I want other churches that have put us here, our home church especially, to be able to see the video. If you don't want to be videoed, you let me know between now and then, and we'll make sure that we cut you out. But we want people to see, and maybe you want to be able to show somebody that ain't here. That's the good thing about the technology that we have nowadays. We have the technology to record it. And so I'm going to record it. If it ain't your, if you don't want to be there, if you don't want to be seen, then you'd let me know. But I want you to know that our home church is excited. Other churches that put us here are excited about seeing people that have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ be baptized. I want to ask you these questions. These are between you and the Lord. And like I said, this is something, if you've been baptized and you're good, then you shouldn't have any problem with it. If you're questioning it, then you should ask yourself these questions. Number one, was I baptized after I accepted Christ? Doesn't matter if you got baptized on Wednesday, on Sunday, and you received Jesus on that Wednesday, then you still need to be baptized, rebaptized, because you weren't scripturally baptized, right? Was I baptized after I received Christ? Did my baptism picture the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ? That's why we do it in water. It is a picture of that. Was I baptized for the right reason or right purpose? Meaning, was I baptized to understand it's not part of salvation? It's just an outward expression that I'm obeying God and I love Him and I want people to know. Was you baptized for the right reasons? Have I met all the requirements for proper baptism? Meaning, when you were baptized, were you saved? Were you submerged? Was it to a church that believed in the same doctrines? Again, you may have been baptized at a church that did not believe exactly like me, but like we preach, but did they believe the fundamentals of this Bible, what we talk about, the fundamentals of faith? If they did not, then you should pray about it. Should I consider being baptized? If you've never been baptized and you are saved, you believe you've been saved, you should be baptized. You should consider it. You should pray about it. I'm gonna let you know a couple things before I finish up. If there's anybody else, so that you got the rest of this week to pray about it. Do I have a good conscience toward God and man about it? I do. I was baptized by a man. I love my first pastor. I'm thankful for Brother Mike Duffield that preached to me. He wasn't afraid or ashamed to get up there. I'm talking about a man. I'm thankful to be out here, and I don't look at it, and I know that he doesn't either. Doesn't look at it as losing anything. I'm talking about a man that was a Yankee, ball things, from Michigan, that was in school, being paid to be in school by GM to be an engineer for them. Turned it all down for the ministry. To be used of God, to leave Michigan and go all the way to North Carolina and eventually take a little church with, at the time when he started, I think he said there was four people when he started. He said after the first service, there was a church split. There wasn't but two of them left. And God used that man to build that up to, at one time, ran over 300 people. Now it's not where it should be, and it's not doing what it should be doing now. But I am thankful for that man. I have a good conscience toward God and man. And I am thankful that God, that he was the one that preached to me and baptized me. Do you have a good conscience toward God and man about this? Would it hurt anything if you were baptized again the right way? Was I baptized in the same way Jesus was? You go back and you read those gospel accounts that I gave you, and you'll see that Jesus went down into the water. He comes up out of the water. That's why Jesus, we believe in his example. We talk about that. Jesus left us an example of his life. He left an example of his baptism. Should I pray about what God wants me to do? Have I been honest with myself, my pastor, and my family about salvation and baptism? Maybe there's somebody in here. I don't know. God had me write this one down. Maybe there's somebody in here that you've been claiming you've been saved. Maybe even you were baptized. But since then, you've come to the realization that you was really lost. You have got saved. And now you kind of say, well, I don't want to be baptized again because I'm... Listen, don't be ashamed of him. You should not be ashamed of him. You should be honest to let him know, hey, I showed you there are people in the Bible that were baptized twice. There in Acts chapter number 19, 12 men. If there were 12 men just there in the book of Acts, there were probably others. Apollos, the Bible says, was a great man of God. But I imagine if Apollos won those 12 men, Apollos probably won others to the Lord, that they had to go back and Aquila and Priscilla after getting him to understand that they need to be baptized in the name of the Lord. And that means in what Jesus said, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There may have been others that just weren't recorded in the Bible that had to go back and be baptized. Baptism, now listen, it's not going to send you to hell. I tell you that right now, it's not going to send you to hell. It's not going to keep you from being saved. And just believe it is obedience in God, and it's a first step in growth. But I can show you that the Apostle Paul says there in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, he says, I didn't come to baptize. I thank God that I baptized none of you, say about 3 or 4. Paul said, I didn't come to baptize, I came to preach. It was the pastor's responsibility. He did baptize some, but he said it's the responsibility of the pastor, and it will be if you stay around and we don't stay here, and you may not be baptized this time, but you just whatever reason, you may say, you know what, come up, but the new pastor gets in and say, you know what, I was never really baptized properly, and I'd like to make it right. I don't know. I'm just telling you to pray about it. You ought to consider these things. These questions about baptism. Now I'm going to tell you this. Those of you that want to be baptized, those of you talked to, some things that you need to make sure. If you haven't talked with me, I'd like to talk to you. If you'd like to, if you're even thinking about it and you don't know 100%, you ought to come talk to me. And if there's a question you have, maybe I can answer it one-on-one. But if you've not talked to me, you should talk to me tonight, Tuesday night, between now and then. Make sure that you bring appropriate clothes, that when you get wet, you're totally covered up. As you get wet and you come back out, they won't be able to see through nothing. Change your clothes. Maybe you want to be baptized in your good clothes. I don't know. If you want to be baptized in a suit and tie, I'll baptize you in a suit and tie. That's what you want to be baptized in. But make sure you'll bring appropriate clothes or a change of clothes. Make sure that you bring a towel, at least one towel if you're going to need anything. I just want to give you this so that you know if you need to be going to be baptized, you need a hair dryer, if you need a hairbrush, comb, whatever it may be after you be baptized. I'm just letting you know so that you may not be something that you're thinking about right now, so you might want to write that down if you need to. But appropriate clothes, change of clothes to change into, and Lord willing, if it's warm, if it's nice, we'll be able to move through this quickly. We're going to come in. I'll get changed. I'll get in there and wait while the next person gets changed. And then we'll move forward. And then as one gets baptized, if it's warm, we'll let them walk around and come around and go into the bathroom so the next person can get changed and we can keep this thing flowing. It's not too many right now, but who knows? Between now and then, maybe some others may want to and let me know. But we're just praying. I just want to do what God says and what God's told me to do, and this is what God's told me to do. And I believe we ought to make it a big deal. We ought to make it a big shebang and let people know that I'm not afraid. I'm not ashamed to be identified with Christ. How about it tonight? Maybe this has brought you to the realization that you realize that you weren't saved when you got baptized. Or maybe even come to the realization you're not saved now. You ought to come to this altar and do business with God. Let's all stand tonight. No music tonight. The altar's open. If you need to come pray about this, you ought to come pray. If you're lost, you ought to come get right with God. Make sure that you're saved tonight. If there's something along the lines as far as that you're not 100% sure that you were done right, then you ought to come up here and pray and ask God to show you. Not me. Ask God to show you. I've showed you what the Bible says. I give you more scripture. We didn't give a lot. I've got a lot written down, but there's plenty. You ought to study it out yourself if you're not sure. But I'd be glad between now and next Sunday to talk with you if you need to. All right, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would take the messages this morning, tonight, work in hearts. Thank you for those that have come, Lord, to be that have gotten saved and come forward to be baptized. I pray others, Lord, if they have received Jesus during this time, they would come to be baptized, take that first step in obedience towards you. And Lord, do great work here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The altar's open if you need to come.